May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the glorious one, the Lord. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Mark 9. Please join me in prayer. Lord, plant your word deep in our hearts today, and may it produce in us faith, peace, joy, and great hope of eternal glory in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What do these words or phrases have in common? All right, listen carefully. This is pretty easy. What do these words or phrases all have in common? Feast. Might expect me to start out that way with feast. Feast. Prize. Anybody know what I'm talking about yet? Feast. Prize. How about mansion? Feast, prize, mansion. May know what I'm talking about? What do they all have in common? Glory. Now you should know for sure. New Jerusalem. All these words or phrases have to do with what? Heaven. They're all words or phrases depicting heaven. Heaven is the feast. We sang about that feast today in our liturgy, the feast of victory for our God. Heaven is the prize. Heaven is glory, isn't it? Heaven is having a mansion in the Father's house. Heaven is the New Jerusalem with gold streets, pearly gates. All that's heaven. And in the gospel lesson today, Mark 9, we have another beautiful snapshot of heaven. The transfiguration is kind of an odd story. Jesus seems to be out of character. He's not the humble, suffering servant here who is caring for all the poor and lost. The humble carpenter from Nazareth. But now he shines in glory up on a mountain. Moses, Elijah there, and the Father there in the cloud. Kind of out of character, kind of unusual. The best way to understand the transfiguration, I feel, is it's a preview of heaven. It's a picture of the glory that awaits Jesus and us in paradise. Before Jesus goes to the cross, Lent starts this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Is this Wednesday suffering, misery, the cross, blood, crown of thorns, nails? Before all that, Jesus gives us a little preview of heaven. This is the result. This is the climax. This is the end. Why Jesus dies. All that pain and misery. It all ends up with glory. Paradise, heaven. And here's a little preview. Four things we learn about heaven today from the Transfiguration. Let's get our minds off of the snow and off of the workplace, and off of the economy, and off of war, and all the problems of life, our sicknesses, our diseases, our problems. Get our minds off all that stuff that brings us down. Put our minds and our hearts up on paradise, where God wants them to be, our true home. Four things on heaven. First of all, we learn here, heaven is rest. It is eternal, perfect rest. Ultimate rest for the weary, the burden, the downtrodden, the sick, the diseased. Anybody here wants some rest? We all do, don't we? Longing for rest. Notice the timing of the transfiguration. It's significant. Mark tells us it happens after 6 days. You don't just skip over that detail and say, well, it doesn't matter if it's 4 days, 17 days, or 9 days. He just mentioned six. 6 days is insignificant because after 6 days is the seventh day. And the seventh day is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. It is the Sabbath. And so for a Jew here, you would think of the Sabbath, the seventh day. And the Sabbath was a day of rest. So perhaps Mark is telling us the transfiguration occurs on a Sabbath. And Jesus here is showing the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and all of us, what true Sabbath is. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And it all happens in heaven. We're away from the crowds. Notice, Peter and James and John are away from the crowds up on a high mountain. Away from all the trouble. All the sick. All the diseased. All the people that want to see Jesus. All those problems. They're away from all that. They're away from the Pharisees. The Sadducees that persecute Jesus. They want him dead. They're away from all that down the valley up on a high mountain. Restful. Peaceful with Jesus. And no wonder why Peter says, let's build three shelters. Stay for a while. Let's build a tent. What an odd thing to say. Let's build something here on a mountain. Peter wants to stay. It's a place of peace and rest away from all the trouble of life. And that's heaven, dear friends. You know, I was in Walgreens the other day, and I'm sure you've been to Walgreens wherever you go, and there's medicine all over the place. And I noticed how they have a whole section on sleep aids, an entire section just for sleeping. I hope you don't have any of that today in church right now. An entire section just for sleep aids. And I counted there must be 20 to 30 products just to help you sleep. We are people that just can't rest, can we? We have aches, we have pains, worries, stress, burdens in life, and we just find it hard to really rest. And on top of the medicine, you have special mattresses that can help you rest. Special pillows can help you rest. Special beds, special music, all to help us sleep and rest because we can't find rest. Jesus here shows us true rest. True rest for the soul and the body is found in Him and ultimately in heaven. Secondly, we learn that heaven here is a wonderful reunion. A reunion of all the saints and all the people of heaven. Notice at the Transfiguration who is there. Moses and Elijah are there. They represent the Old Testament. Moses, the law, Elijah, the prophets. They represent all the saints of the Old Testament. And along with them, the Father is there. The Father's in the cloud. Who'd ever imagine that? God the Father right there with Peter, James, and John, these lowly fishermen. They're right there in the presence of God. Jesus in glory, the Father, Moses, Elijah, they're all rubbing shoulders together. They're all united. They're all with each other, reunited. That's heaven. A reunion of all the saints. Peter says it's good to be here. The word good stands out. We just sang about that. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Good would recall creation. When God said, it's good, it is good, it is good, it's all very good, it's all good. It was good because everything back in creation was working in harmony with each other. Man and woman and God were all in harmony and peace with creation. It was all very good, peaceful, united. And so Peter says, this is like creation. This is the way it should be. Away from all the trouble of life, with God, with each other. Moses, Elijah, and all the saints. This is the way it should be. This is like before sin. Reunion. And notice another little miracle here that teaches us of heaven. Peter, James, and John don't have to ask who Moses and Elijah are. They're not told by Jesus that, hey, here's Moses and Elijah. There's no introduction here. This is Moses. This is Elijah. Peter, James, and John. They just instantaneously know who Moses and Elijah are. It's a picture of heaven. We're all going to be together, all the billions of saints, past, present, future, and we're all going to know each other just instantly. A perfect knowledge of each other. A perfect knowledge and love of each other. So there's going to be no introductions. You won't have to wear a name tag in heaven. And here's a good one. No pictorial directories in heaven. Hey, I like that, Pastor Robertson. Lisa Way. No pictorial directories. We're all going to know each other. It's the idea is that we're family, you see. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, covered by His blood, baptized in His name. And now, because of sin and distance, we don't know each other that well. We have to be introduced. But in heaven, it's perfect reunion in Christian love. When I go see my mom, I don't have to introduce myself. This is Paul, your son. She knows I'm her son. I don't have to introduce myself to my brother Dave or Mark or Jim or my sister Lois. They know that I'm their brother. We're family. We know each other. And that's how it will be with Moses in heaven and Elijah and Luther and all the other great saints. We'll just know them. And there won't be any cliques. Notice how Moses and Elijah, these two great men, are hanging around with fishermen, Peter, James, and John. The great and the small together. No cliques where we have this little group over here and they gossip about that little group over there. That happens in your workplace. Sometimes it happens in church. This group's better than that group. None of that nonsense of sin and separation. No gossip. The gospel will be on our lips that the Lamb was slain for us. Reunion. My dad will be there. Grandpa and grandma. Your loved ones all there that were baptized and believed. Perfect knowledge of everyone. Thirdly, heaven is the resurrection of the body. This is the meat of the transfiguration. Heaven is the resurrection of the body. Jesus here is transfigured. He is in glory, shines in glory, to show he is God. That's a simple lesson. He is God Almighty, who he said he was. Proof. But more, it's also showing us Easter. It's a preview of Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. A little Easter before Easter comes. We end Epiphany today. We soon enter Lent, suffering, death, and then Easter. And before we get to Easter, we have a little preview. What a gracious God we have. Saying to his disciples, I'm going to win. You're going to see me die, blood, misery, pain, crown of thorns. You're going to see it all. It's going to be terrible, but I'm going to win. I'm God. I will conquer sin, death, and hell. I will rise again. And the promise is that you too will rise, Peter, James, and John. Mark and all the gospel writers really always mentioned the clothing of Jesus, as Pastor did, that his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. It's as if the gospel writers just, there's no human words to really describe the glory of God. It's just, it's so wonderful, so supernatural. We don't have human words to describe it hardly. Whiter than anyone could bleach them. The clothing, the idea here is that Jesus' glory emanates from within him. He is God. He does not get his glory outside of himself. It's in him as God, because he's God. And it flows from within him in his body out to his clothing. Whatever Jesus touches becomes glorious. Even his drab clothing is glorious. It's an object lesson for you and I. We, if you will, are the clothing of Jesus now. We're connected to him. We're his body, aren't we? We're his clothing, connected to him. And so he will change our lowly, drab bodies to be new and glorious and immortal and perfect. I will rise. I will rise indeed. Alleluia. All that before we even get to Easter. I was listening to the radio this week, and on the radio they had a commercial from the International Star Registry. And I thought it was kind of interesting. You, for $54, you can have a star named after someone, a family member, your spouse. What a wonderful thing. Don't do it for me. I could care less. Okay? For $54, you can have a star named after somebody. And it's like, and then at the end of the commercial struck me, the end that struck me, it said, give the gift of hope. Have a star named after a loved one. And I thought to myself, how in the world does that give you hope? Having a star named after me that no one even looks at anyway is going to give me hope? This gives us hope. We're not going to have a star named after us. We're going to shine like a star. We're going to be like a star. We're going to rise from the grave because Jesus rose from the grave. That's the sure and certain hope we proclaim. When we bury a loved one in the faith, we're at the cemetery and we're sad and we're crying. The pastor says, we now commit this body to its resting place. In the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. Not just a flimsy hope, but the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. We're going to shine like stars. But, oh, that's great. Heaven is rest, reunion, resurrection. Wonderful, fabulous, glorious, great. All right, let's go now. But wait. Heaven must be reopened for us to get there. Heaven must be reopened for us ever to get there. Note the obvious of the transfiguration. It's over as soon as it begins. Peter, James, and John can't stay. Elijah and Moses are gone quickly. The cloud of the Father, no longer there. Jesus' glory, no longer there. It's over just like that. The lesson being, here's a little snapshot of heaven, but. We can't go yet. Heaven must be reopened. I'll crack the door a little bit. But it has to be reopened for you, Peter, James, and John, to ever enter, or any sinner to enter. It has to be widely opened. And how's that going to happen? It happens only by the cross of our Lord. Glory is great, but glory must wait. It must wait for the gruesome crucifixion of our Lord. He must reopen heaven. You see, heaven was open back at creation. God, man together, everything was good. Harmony, peace, heaven was open, but it got closed when sin came. Slammed shut, the door shut, sinners can't welcome. So heaven must be reopened, and it happens only by the death of Jesus. And so Lent begins this Wednesday as Christ reopens glory to us by his death on the cross, where he takes away the sins of the world. He came not to be transfigured. He came to be disfigured. He came not to look glorious. He came to look gruesome with nails, a crown of thorns, and blood all over his face and body. That's what he came to do. He came not to hang with Moses and Elijah. He came to hang between two thieves. He came not just to give a glimpse of glory, but he came to give us the wide open door to glory, that all who believe and are baptized would be saved and live in it forever, not for a few seconds like Peter, James, and John. You know, Anne, the last couple months, has been making this wonderful chicken stir fry. And I'm not really a Chinese guy. This stuff's really good. Little bits of chicken and broccoli. I like broccoli. Maybe a few carrots in there, rice, the soy sauce. Stirs this all up. It's really, really good. Kind of healthy, too. And I need some healthy food now and then. And I can get home at night, and I can be walking on our sidewalk, and I can look in the window and see the kitchen, and I can see Ann stirring this up and smoke going and stirring it up. And, all right, chicken stir fry, all right. And I might even smell it come out of the window. Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm going inside to eat. What do I got to do first, though? I got to go through the door. It doesn't fly out the window into my mouth. I have to enter the door. And that's pretty easy. I turn the knob and I open the door and I eat. Here we have the snapshot. Oh, the glory, reunion, rest, resurrection. Oh, but first, we got to get in the door. And it's not so easy. We can't open it. It requires the cross of our Lord. That's the key. Beautiful picture of heaven. It is rest for the soul, reunion of all the saints, resurrection of the body, and heaven must be reopened. It has been reopened. Praise be to Jesus for the cross. Come this Lent, worship your Lord as he reopens heaven. Amen. Let's rise.